Thank you to our sponsors at 5CBD. They make full spectrum CBD and THC products that you can really feel. 5 products ship legally to all 50 states, so you can even send them to a friend, wink, wink. Go to 5CBD.com/Funches and enter code Funches at checkout for 30% off and free shipping on your first order. Listening to the podcast. Thank you for watching the podcast. Thank you to the Funch Bunch, who was there for our 2-year anniversary of streaming on Twitch, playing some Fall Guys with me. That was a good time. If you want to play Fall Guys with me or some other game, just come on by. Twitch.tv, Ron_Funches is the account. We have good times playing games, talking snacks, kicking back. Come on. Join the Funch Bunch. Other than that, you know you can support the podcast at the Patreon, patreon.com/gettingbetterwithron. If you want to listen to some exclusive episodes, if you just want to support the podcast, get thank you notes, get a shout out on the podcast, come on and just support us if you want to. It's up to you. We're fine. But we appreciate all of those who do support. Thank you so much. And then other than that, watch Loot on Apple TV. It's going into a second season soon. So make sure you're on the ground floor. It's a great show. Maya Rudolph, Joe Kim Booster, myself, Michaela J. Rodriguez, so many fun people. Just enjoy it. Check it out. It's a great show. I love working there. As well, King Shark is coming back. Harley Quinn season 2, July 28th. I'll be at San Diego Comic-Con hanging out. If you're there, come say hi to me. Also, I'll be in Phoenix, Arizona at the Stand Up Live. I will be there July 28th through the 30th. So come out, watch some comedy, me and Carmen Morales. I also got dates coming up in Minneapolis, Chicago, August 4th and 5th. And I will be in San Diego again doing stand-up at the American Comedy Co. and Kansas City as well. So if you live in any of those places, please go get some tickets now. Get them early. Get them often, just like with voting. And do it illegally. And gerrymander those lines. RonFunches.com for all tickets. If you're watching the video, you're seeing me horribly mismanage my hydro flask. Which is a good reason to check out the YouTube. Help it grow. Help me get some subscribers. One of those plaques one day. Or the ability to just produce and create my own products and projects without having to worry about an industry. That would be fun, too. And that only comes from you guys building with me. So come on board. I'm doing my best. I'm working hard, but also keeping a fun work-life balance. So if it takes some time, just stay with me. Let's get into the podcast. I hope you're feeling strong. I hope you're feeling brave. I hope you're feeling love and grateful for that love. If this is one of those times where you're feeling low and you're feeling down, know that it's okay and you're not alone in that. If you're not feeling any of those things, it was a rough week for myself and many in the comedy community. We've lost a lot of people recently, and we lost another comrade in arms, a comrade in comedy, and Jack Knight. That was pretty difficult to deal with, just as, and I think I look at it with more like pain and hurt now as I get older and I start to see these younger comedians less as my peers and more as like, you know, to me, they look like my son, you know, they don't look no older than Malcolm to me. And so to see someone who, you know, lost their life at 28 years old and had so much to give and was so bright in comedy and was so fun and unique and wild and successful. And when you think about that, you know, the outsider view of it just makes you be like what was it that we couldn't fix or help with that, you know, You had such a beautiful life, so successful for 30. You were NBA 2K. That's legendary. That's black history to be in an NBA 2K series. And Jack Knight is in the NBA 2K series. Wrote on Big Mouth and was a voice in Big Mouth. Was a great writer. And how I met, and I'm not, you know, I'm not here to be like, oh, I was Jack Knight's best friend or anything like that. I just happened to be around at a lot of times where I saw him coming up. I didn't even know how young he was when I met him, and toured with him a lot, worked with him with Aziz Ansari mostly. He would open for Aziz, I would open for Aziz, and so we would end up working with each other and checking in on each other and seeing how he was doing. And he's always such a sweet guy and a nice guy, especially when, you know, when he's these young black comics. And to me, you know, I'm just some either competition or old guard to them or just lame to them. And Jack always was, you know, treated me with respect and treated me as a friend. And I always appreciated that from someone who was, you know, cool as fuck. And so, and when I first met him, it was outside of the Comedy Store, and he wasn't even 21 yet. I think he was either 19 or 20, and they wouldn't let him in, but he was hanging around out front, him and his friend Valentino, who also did comedy, and they were coming around because this was like the beginning of when Chappelle was first coming back, like 8-9 years ago, like before any other stuff where people thought Chappelle was lame or hateful. This was like the reason why most of us black comedians from my age to his age, so the reason why most of us got in comedy was, you know, and felt like we could do it, was back and was coming in and was coming to do some comedy. And it was an exciting time in the Comedy Store. And I was going in to, I was getting bumped, didn't know that he was there, but I was getting bumped and I was going to go watch it. And in fact, I mean, I've talked about this night before because it's one of my favorite nights in comedy. It was when I first moved to LA and like I almost got hit by Brody Stevens in his car because I was running across Sunset, and he picked me up and drove me there. And I saw Jack and I saw Valentino, and they hung out outside, and I went inside, and there was like Donald Glover hanging out, smoking and chilling. And it was just a fucking crazy, beautiful night. And I remember at one point watching Chappelle going and doing his set, and he looks out the window and he sees Jack and Valentino outside, and he it's like, what, you know, what are these dudes doing out there? What are these little niggas doing outside? And they tell me like, oh, he's like, they're underage. They can't get in. They're comics, but they can't get in. They want to just hear you and watch you. And he's like, well, you know, fuck that. Let them in. And he lets Jack and Valentino into the club. Not only that, he brings them on stage and, you know, has them introduce themselves and has them each do like 3-5 minutes of comedy and gives them, you know, constructive criticism, talks about it with them. And I just remember that night being like, God damn, like neither one of them will ever quit comedy. You know, this is going to be one of the things that ingrain your mind when Chappelle brings you on stage and invests in your comedy and your career. It's a beautiful situation, you know? And, years later, you know, it was one of the things that is always so funny, because the thing you find in open mic, you start with the person. I remember the person that I start with, my buddy and Halston's buddy, Will Woodruff, who also passed away. And you end up finding that, like, oh, well, you don't always make it out with the people you start with. And then Valentino, like, moved on and went to do other things. And Jack, you know, was still at it and was funny and was getting known, and people were really liking him. You see him pop up, and then all of a sudden, you know, he was everywhere, it seemed like, working on Sam J on her show and just having his own show on the Bus Down on Peacock. If you haven't seen that, you should check that out. And seeing so much love and success and joy that people have for him. And he was always still a wild young gentleman, but you always felt like, man, like as successful as he is now, what's it going to be like later for this guy when he actually starts, you know, continue to have more life experience and starts sanding these rough edges and uses his mind to his full potential and sees where and gets more experience. The thing that happens to any of these comedians. And I just feel like it's a fucking shame that we won't get to find out about that. We won't get to see his work like that. And it just feels like he was just getting started of a beautiful, wonderful career. And I don't know what his, and I'm sad that I didn't. I wish I knew him more than just passing by and always dapping him up and giving him a, you know, quick hug on his way, just doing whatever, you know? And that's, you know, a lot of life for being a comedian is just, you see each other in the hallways and you just assume everybody's doing well because you see the financials. You don't even really know the financials, but you see the career stuff. You see the on-screen stuff. You see the writing stuff. You see the online shit. And you don't know what's really going on, you know? And it's fucking, you know, just sometimes what you don't know. You just feel helpless because you feel like you should be able to help out or do something and... But you don't know what could happen. And unfortunately, in this job, you lose a lot of people young. It sucks. And there's really no, like, hey, but let's turn this into a lesson. It's just nothing of that. It's just, there's just loss sometimes. And losing Jack Knight is a big fucking loss, man. Because that was a good, progressive, wild, young, different voice that of a black man. And what, you know, and it's fun because I feel like, you know, you look every, and it's every generation, right? You look back and you go like, oh man, you guys did some, what you did to, but you don't even really feel the freedom of that I'm going for. And you feel that. And then I would look at someone like Jack and I would be like, shit, like I got to continue to open my mind more and continue to push for what I feel is true, living free and living happy as a black man. And it's, Just a shame to fucking lose them. And I just hope that, you know, anyone out there that is in any type of similar position, or you lose a young friend, or you considering giving up on things, just know that, like, you know, shit does change all the time. And sometimes it's things that we're prisons of our own mind so much. And it's just hard to get into because there's so many factors and I don't know anything, you know, I don't know a real damn thing. I just don't like losing young people and I don't like using positive people. I like, there's so much negative. There's so much already bullshit going on. It's just, we need those positive people. And I know all the bullshit going on and all the negativity around us makes it hard to go continue. It makes it hard for the positive people who are usually pretty sensitive and artistic to want to continue to push on. But we need each other and we need you right now. Like, it's just, we need as many bright lights as we can get in this darkness. So you gotta just continue to push on if you can. And I don't judge anything in any way, but you got to help your friends and be around your friends if you can. But nobody's your... See, it's just, I don't even know what to fucking say because you can't take care of anybody. You don't know what's going on sometimes. Just sucks. I'm just going to fucking miss seeing him and being happy for his successes and just his bright smile and just his ability to say nigga in 87 different ways in one 15-minute set. and that was the thing. I was like, I thought that we couldn't do that. but we miss you, Jack, and appreciate just ever knowing you, and just for bringing humor and for bringing intelligence that you did bring and bringing a bright light while you were here. I just wish you were here much longer. Go check out some of his work if you are inclined. And you can see, you know, what we all see. Someone who we all thought was just destined for success. And sometimes, you know, when you just assume people are fine and taken care of, that's, you know, they're not. So, no, we just kind of make assumptions. Check in on your friends if you can. Check in on your loved ones and just let them know you're there for them, especially right now. You don't know what people are going through. So, other than that, let's just get into the show. We got a really good guest. It's going to be a lot more upbeat than this, I promise. I just wanted to say something nice about my friend. And just that's really all I've been thinking about this week. So, but we got a wonderful guest, a new friend that I really love and enjoy, that I think you guys are going to really enjoy this conversation, because it's a real classic getting better type of episode. You might have seen her on the phenomenal hit Netflix series Glow. You can see her upcoming soon on episode 8 of Loot, where she plays one of my cousins. So come on by for that. And you can just get to know her. She's amazing. The talented, the wonderful, the effervescent. Ooh, that's a fun one. Brittany Young. Enjoy it. Hey, Brittany, thank you for coming to the podcast. I appreciate you being here.
Of course. Thank you for having me. I wore tie-dye for you.
Oh, thank you for knowing. Mm-hmm. I love tie-dye. I like to start the podcast by telling people why I invite them on and what I like about them. So here you go. Yeah. I just enjoy your work from afar years ago. I loved you on Glow because I love wrestling and I love the Glow. And I had a friend, Jackie Tone, who was on the show, which got me into the show. And then I saw you and I was like, I love this lady. She's funny and strong and a fun character. And then I didn't know that I saw you previously because you were on a show with my friends made, the Grolix friends. You were on a show called Those Who Can.
Yeah.
And you were a very good character in that. And so memorable and enjoyable. And it's so fun for me to then see you go from that to having such a big role on a big Netflix show. And then finally, I got to meet you in real life when you play my cousin on an episode of Loot that's coming up that I'm very excited for people to see. Mm-hmm. And it was so nice to meet you and find out that you were such a wonderful spirit and just a joy to be around that. It's very rare where someone has such a glow that, like, literally every single person on set was just like, oh, my God, can she be here every day? I want to work with her. She's the best. And it just must feel good to have that type of reputation and that type of love for you. And I just wanted to get to know you a little better. I read some things about you that made me feel like we have some things in common. And I just wanted to learn a little bit more about you. So thanks for coming by.
Of course. Thanks for all those kind words. And yeah, we had fun on Loot. I mean, I told you already, like, I'm a huge fan of yours since all the way back to, like, Undateable. So I was like, oh my God, I'm playing his cousin.
I think it works out. I think spiritually that it just is real. So no. It seems like...
Yeah. Yeah, that tracked 100%. Yeah.
I just want to ask you just to get started a little bit. And I don't mean to start off like harshly anyway, but like for Glow to end in such a way in the middle of a pandemic and then for you to be suddenly be like, okay, I don't have a job anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, this podcast is a lot about mental health and positivity, but I was wondering what type of journey and what type of difficulty was that like for you mentally to go through that, not only like all of us being in the pandemic, but then also being like, oh, this thing that I love doing and was a joy, and I'm assuming a lot of these castmates feel like family to you, or suddenly is done without any type of like closure.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it really sucks. I think for Glow, like, our fans are amazing, but still to this day, 3 years later, or about to be 3 years later, a lot of people don't really know how it happened for us. We were already in the midst of shooting our final season when Netflix told us, oh, we're shutting down for like 2 weeks as a precaution for COVID. We'll call you guys back like when we're ready to go up and running. And we all kind of went our separate ways. And then months went by and finally, like, early the next year, 2021, Netflix told us we just weren't coming back at all. So that was really hard to deal with, considering that like every few months we were getting like emails and text messages from, you know, our creators and Netflix just saying like, don't worry, you're coming back. Like, it's gonna happen. And then to all of a sudden be like, yeah, you guys are just done. That was like really heartbreaking. And especially for me, like you're talking about the mental aspect of it. Yeah, like we never got closure. And especially for myself, the way it happened was our first episode was only actually myself and Allison Brie. Mm-hmm. We were the only regular cast members in that episode. And then the second episode was all the other cast members. So like they all got to do one final episode together. And then it was just me and Allison Brie for the first one. So that was sad not to be able to like properly say goodbye to everybody. But silver lining, because Netflix told us it was only going to be 2 weeks, I actually went home to my parents' house in Alaska, literally packed for 2 weeks. I had like 3 pairs of pants and 2 bras and like 3 panties. And I was like, I'm going to be there for 14 days. I stayed for 14 months. and it was really the silver lining of my pandemic experience to be at home, like with my parents and my little brother who recently moved back and my older sister who recently moved back. So like, in that respect, I think they really got me through the pandemic and through the craziness of like quickly being reassured that you have a job when it comes back to then all of a sudden being like, crap, not only is this job over, but like, I have no way to say goodbye to it. So mm-hmm. props to family because they got me through it. And hopefully everybody else got to find some silver lining in their pandemic as well, even though I know that was difficult for people.
I'd like to ask a bit more about that and just talk about what that's like. I mean, I don't know what the relationship with your parents has been with you growing up, but I feel like that's very relatable for a lot of people through the pandemic who had to kind of reset in a lot of ways or go back to their roots. There's a lot of people who had to go back and live with their parents mm-hmm. or go move with other family members. How did that work for you as far as reconnecting, kind of just like fully going back to a childhood situation, basically?
Yeah.
Tell me a bit about that.
I'm very lucky that I do have a good relationship with my parents and with my siblings. So like, it really was like, yeah, just coming home and kind of like, I never left. My mother was thrilled. I mean, she would have me live there all day if I could, you know, every day. My dad was constantly like, so when you going back? So, like every single time I was like, okay. I think for me though, this time around, it was like, you know, normally when I go home for Christmas or Thanksgiving, I really do feel like I'm a guest there. You know, like I just kind of come in and pop in and like have a great holiday with them and leave. But this time I was like, oh, I'm 33 years old. I'm an adult. How am I going to pull my weight essentially living rent-free at my parents' home when they should like be enjoying retirement? So like I, you know, stepped up and like paid groceries and like offered to pay bills and like help out around the house as much as I could, because I knew like, again, like my dad also is immune compromised. Mm. So bringing somebody else into the house at that time was, you know, probably not the safest thing, but like I was built for the pandemic because I'm just a homebody and never leave my home anyways. Mm-hmm. But like, it was one of those things where I was like, okay, now that I'm an adult, I need to essentially pull my weight here and not just be a guest for a year and a half. And it worked out and it was lovely, but dang, I forgot Alaska. I forgot the winters are cold.
No, I think that's what they're known for.
I forgot.
Darkness, like cold winters,
I was like, oh.
$7 foot long sandwiches, because yeah. It's just more expensive. Everything.
It's more expensive. It's dark. I mean, it was lovely, but I mean, yeah, it was just going, like you said, going back to childhood for a quick year and a half.
Was it any type of marker about all the progress that you have made from going back? Because I imagine, did you see like old classmates or people that you grew up with while you were still in Alaska?
Towards the end, I started feeling a little bit comfortable seeing people. But again, because my dad, mm-hmm. we were trying to really be safe. But I did see some people towards the end, like out getting groceries and stuff. And I'd like see them with their kids and, you know, they'd be like, oh, what are you up to? Like, why are you here? And I'm like, oh, like my show got shut down and, you know, I'm just here visiting, but I don't know when I'm going back. Like, it was kind of a weird way to navigate it. Cause again, I'm used to just being like, oh, I'm here for Christmas. And now I'm just like, I'm here indefinitely. But yeah, I think like the marker in the sense was that, like, you know, a huge privilege that I don't take for granted is that I did have money from the show, and I wasn't in a situation where a lot of people, like, yes, I lost my job, but I still had money to live and survive. And I don't take that for granted at all. And I think that was kind of a thing where my dad too, a lot was like, how are you paying rent? Like, you better get a job. And I was like, it's okay. Like, I got a little bit saved. So that is definitely one of those markers you're talking about that I don't take for granted at all. Like, I'm very privileged in that way that that worked out.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you had that. In my research about you, I found out, I didn't know that you were born in Tokyo in Japan.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. That's one of my favorite places.
I love Tokyo.
And a thing that I saw, I don't know, did you still go back at all as an adult?
I haven't. We moved over in 99. That's how old I am. We moved over here to the States when I was in like fourth grade, and I've not been back since. My sister is the only one of us that has been back. And like when we were on GLOW, one of my castmates, Kia Stevens, who has had an amazing wrestling career as the Awesome Kong, like she's a Hall of Famer legend. She wrestled in Japan, and we campaigned for Netflix to send us both over to like do some promotion for the show. They didn't go for it, but we were trying so hard because we both wanted to get back and like explore the city, you know, as adults later in our life. But I really do want to go back.
Yeah, I want to go back, see what it's like now after the pandemic. I just love the place, and I like the culture and the level of personal responsibility and respect that they show there. And a thing that I read in an interview that you talked about that piqued my interest was that you talked about how you were American there and biracial, and that you were in the same thing that I felt when I moved out there, just being Black and being American, and that people were highly interested in me, but in a way that never felt scary.
Yeah.
It just felt like interest and felt like, oh, what are you about? You're different. Yeah. And when you come to America or you come back to America, you're like, oh, it's a different level of interest. Mm-hmm. It's a more fear-based. And I just don't know. Why is it like that, Brandy?
I mean, it, like, I don't know. You're right. Like, over there, it's like, I mean, Japan has always kind of been into Western culture. So I know a lot of people who, like, from America will go over, especially, like my mom was, like, you know, I mean, she's gorgeous, but like she's blonde, blue-eyed, white woman. And they'd ask for her picture, just come up to her and just be like, can we get a picture with you? Because, you know, it's a country where that's not anything that pops up a lot, you know, or like my dad, he's 6'5", Black man. And they'd always ask, like, are you in the NBA? Are you in the NBA? And he'd be like, oh, I play basketball, you know, I'm a red, but not in the NBA. Mm-hmm. But they still were just so fascinated. And yeah, it's like, it's interesting because, again, it is a culture where you do feel so welcomed for your differences and mm-hmm. like they're interested in those differences. And then you come here and we're still so, you know, like you said, like people are scared because they have these weird connotations of what different people are and these weird historical biases that even though people say, like, I love all people, some people will still cross the road if they see a Black man coming and not even mm-hmm. realize they're doing it. You know, like it's just those things in our culture that I just think are unfortunately so ingrained in us and that we just need to like really start calling out and getting out of. Because, yeah, it's nice to be welcomed.
Yeah, it feels good. I liked it there when I was like, oh, people. I got also asked if I was in the NBA, but it didn't feel rude. And I was like, I'm 5'11". I don't feel
Muggsy made it. You can make it, Ron. You can make it. Dream big, baby.
Yeah, it's not over. Yeah. 38 is not too late to start.
No. You get that bench spot. You got that bench spot.
And then a question or just an area I wanted to get into that I thought would be fun to talk about with you is just getting into acting as someone who isn't a skinny person and mm-hmm. who has to deal with, you know, stereotypical roles. Like, even, like, the ones that are funny, like, you know, let's talk about like those who can't. That's a more fun role because you get to show strength, you get to show things, but it still is a character based off of your size and how you look differently. And that's something that I also had to deal with when I first started in acting. It was a lot of, you know, my first role was being a overweight homeless man. And then it was a fat gang member. And then I remember the worst role I turned down the audition that I hated it so bad because they were like, this guy's like 30 pounds overweight and no woman would dare look at him. And he's typing his report through his Cheeto stained fingers. And I was like, they hate this guy. Why do they hate this guy? And I was like, I'm 50 pounds overweight and I get sex just fine. So I don't understand this guy at all. Oh. So I just wanted to share in that just a journey of what it's like. Cause I think it's so, I mean, not that, cause I know Andrew Overdahl and Ben and all those guys, and I know they weren't ever like, just keep making fat jokes. But in some ways, it's gotta be fun, cause like I was on something like that, or I was on Enlisted, and all the jokes were fat jokes, and I was one of the side characters, and then I was like, now I'm a series regular on this show. So I imagine for you it gotta be fun to be like, okay, I'll play these fat jokes for a minute, but next thing you know, I'm on a hit, bitch.
And I'm throwing people. It's one of those things where you're right. Like, I mean, the sad part of me wants to say like, yeah, in the beginning of my career, but even to this day in my career, a lot of the stuff that comes through, you're right. It's like Bertha, large woman, dirty, gangly hair, sweatpants. Like, it's like things like that where I'm just like, these people do exist. And they should be represented as well, but it should not be the only representation of these people or myself, you know? So like, that was a huge struggle, but yeah, like Those Who Can't was so much fun because the character originally was supposed to come in. Like the joke was that like, she was like a middle school, high school student that was like this large person because she was on steroids and, you know, nobody really wanted to point it out. And I went in and auditioned and just really thought I bombed. And then finally got the call that like, I got it and came in on set and just had so much fun. Ben, Adam, and Andrew, like, I love those guys so much. And they literally told me, they're like, you were supposed to be in the pilot, but we had so much fun with you. Like, we're bringing you back. And they brought me back all three seasons for multiple episodes, you know? And again, like you said, like those fat jokes just went away. It was all about little Debbie and what she can do and her humor and her strength and her devotion to her coach. You know, like it really was one of those things where it was like, aha, let's peel back the layers to Shrek. You know, like, you know, he's sensitive. Let's show that. He's not just an ogre. So that was really cool. And like, truthfully, when I got the Glow audition, I was blown away because the only mention to her size was that she was a gentle giant. And that was it. And I was like, I love that description. I love that everything else was personality and character traits, not physicality, and not physicality in a negative way, like you were saying. But yeah, I definitely last year turned down like three auditions in a row for characters that literally were going to doctors and doctors were like, you're too fat, lose weight. And then later in the third act, they have cancer or something. You know, like, it's just one of those things where I was like, we're beyond these stories now. Like I want to be beyond these characters and I'm hoping that, you know, this business is coming with me in that, but I do realize that I still have to knock some doors down, to get to those. And, you know, the ones that have been presented to me, I love, and, you know, or even like Loot, like had nothing, like no physicality traits to her, like Kelly, you know, cousin coming in, having a little secret, having fun at the barbecue. And I was like, great. And I got it, you know? So it really is kind of coming in and showing people you're here to have a good time. You're here to have, you know, an impact on this story, on this show, more than just falling into the stereotypes. And they're out there. I hope there's more, but they are out there.
Yeah, it's rare and it's a part of the climb, right? Like you go in the middle and in the beginning is when you feel a lot of that muck of like, oh, you want me to do this? You want me to do that? And it's, you know, and we all have those roles that we take. And I think it's the growth in your career and growth and also in your confidence to start going, no, I'm not going to take a role like that.
Yes. Yeah. The no, like I'm still getting used to the no's because in my mind, I'm like, I think that's one thing that a lot of people don't realize about actors is like, yes, when we work, we get paid, but when we work, we get to pay the people who are working for us. Mm-hmm. We get to pay our manager and our agent. And, you know, for me, I'm like, oh no, if I don't work, then I can't give my manager money and he can't eat food. Like I just go into this panic of thing where I'm like, oh no, no, they're going to be all right. I don't need to take that Bertha just to satisfy my panic attack. You know, like they're going to be all right. I'm going to be all right. The next audition will come. Like, I think that's the thing. It's like, if you think you're going to say no now, then they're never going to ask you again. And that's just not true. You know, but that did take a long time for me to learn it. I'm still learning it.
Do you like CBD? Yeah, you know me. That's one of my favorite ways to open an ad. 5-CBD was founded by hemp enthusiasts to unlock the power of full-spectrum CBD so you can unwind from the grind. Daily Buzz gummies now come in delicious sour flavor that I have certainly enjoyed myself. Since their products have regulated amounts of THC, you can get a nice buzz while keeping a clear head. And they ship legally to all 50 states. 5-CBD is for everyone. Life moves at you fast. Sometimes you need to remind yourself just to kick back and relax and not to get on this ad, but just, hey, sometimes you don't got time to smoke, but you don't need you want to smoke or smell like smoke. Pop a little gummy, have yourself a good day, you know, especially if you like me, you a new parent, or you got just any type of stress in your life where you're dealing with activities where you don't want to be around. I've been very much enjoying the 5-CBD, and I think you will too. Getting better listeners get 30% off and free shipping of their first order of 5-CBD. Go to 5cbd.com/Funches. Enter the code Funches at checkout. You get 30% off and free shipping on your first order. That's 5cbd.com/Funches. Enter the code Funches at checkout. You get 30% off and free shipping. That's a good deal on your first order.
You said something really important about like just having the right representation and the people around you. Cause I feel like there are certain managers and agents who will just continue to give you those type of roles and give you those type of things because they're like, well, it's what keeps you working, especially, you know, I'm sure you're keenly aware of that. Like you start doing one thing and they're like, well, okay, well, this is what you do now. So let's do this role over and over and over again. And you have to have someone in your corner that's like, no, they can do more than that. Let me show you that they can do more. And I just feel like it's, people don't really, they feel like it's all about like talent and acting. And some people feel like it's all about networking and smoothing. But I think it's like the business mind of protecting who you are and the balance, the work-life balance that we all need, no matter what type of business that we're in. Yeah. But when you're basically work for yourself, you really have to be in charge of that for yourself and for your mental health so that you don't burn out. Is that... how do you deal with burnout and just balancing your life and your work?
I mean, Ron, the honest answer is I don't deal with it well.
Thank you for being honest.
And I think that, yeah, I think that like is the most healthiest answer is that like, I'm still learning how to deal with burnout because, you know, when I first started in this business, I was actually on the production side. I was an assistant. I was the production secretary, the office coordinator. So I was experiencing burnout in a way that it was like, I'm now taking on all the problems of this production and bringing it home with me. And like literally the reason why I got an iPhone was so my boss, who was sending me emails at 6 a.m., I could get them and not have to log on to my computer. Like, that's insane to me. I should be sleeping, not answering emails about umbrellas. You know, like, it's like one of those things where when I was an assistant, I could not separate work from home. I was constantly on the clock and would get stressed out. And, you know, I am a very nice person and kind person by nature. So for me to kind of get frustrated or upset in front of other people is something I don't handle well. So I would come home and unleash all that, and my space would then become very negative. And I didn't like that. So when I adjusted, or when I transitioned over to acting, it has been a lot of trying to figure out, okay, Britt, like, how do you separate work from home? How do I go to set and have a good day or a bad day on set? And then when I'm at home, it's just about being Brittany at home, you know? And I'm still definitely working through those things. And I think one of the big, big things that has helped me is saying no, not just saying no to like auditions, but also saying no to, like, at the beginning, I was like, any invitation I got to anything, podcasts, premieres, red carpets, I was like, yes, I'll go. And, you know, I was standing there one time, I was at an ESPYs event that was being sponsored by like a weed business, that the hosts of the ESPY event weren't even there. And I was like, why am I here? I don't need to be here. So why am I here? Why am I putting my energy into something that really I don't need to be at? Mm-hmm. And I think for like, that's what I'm trying to get to, where it's like, if it's something that I feel good about or I want to be a part of, I will say yes. If it's not, then I'm saying no, and I'm trying to stick to that no. And I think that to me has been the best for the balance right now, where it is really putting my energy into the things that I want to be putting my energy into. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. It makes the utmost sense. I love that. Yeah, I mean, it's me. I'm a natural hermit, so I don't go to much of anything.
Yeah.
Like, I get premiere, but which is also funny because I hate it when I don't get invited to stuff. But
I want to be asked, but I don't need to go.
I'm not coming, yeah. But please ask me to go. And so... But it, I think a lot of people, especially if when they move from another city to LA or New York, it's a thing that they get caught up in. And sometimes they get caught up in the partying and the drugs and the drinking and all the free food that you can. And because it can get you, when you just by moving here and being close to it, you can get access to the lifestyle that you think you want without having to do the work and actually have the money yourself. And I think that can sometimes be very tricky for some people. Like, I had some friends who were here, and they're just like, oh, like, I just came out here last weekend. I went to this party. I went to Chris Brown's party. And I was like, these aren't as good of things as you should be saying.
Yeah, no. But, like, if it was like 2005, you would have been in the right place.
Yeah. But maybe you should just go to work.
Well, it is. It's like this separation of like, do you want the fame and fortune and your face on all the magazines and influencer stuff? Or you want to do the work? Like, growing up, I definitely was like, I want to be famous. I want to be a famous actress. I want to win awards. I want to do. And now being in the business, I'm like, I want to do the work. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care about the other stuff now. It's like, I literally want to be working. Like, Glow was like, I can't believe I'm working. Like, it's crazy. People still don't kind of get, for me, it's like, oh, but you have so much time off. And I'm like, yeah, but the time I am working, I'm working 12, 14 hours a day, 5 days a week, you know? So it's like, that's what I want rest too, but like, I want the work part of it, not the parties. And like, really, truthfully, I don't want to have to put on high heels and makeup. I want to Frances McDormand this. I don't want to do that stuff.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing that sometimes people think they have to do those things they don't want to do. Mm-hmm. But like, you don't. You find an area that works for you. And sometimes does it mean like, okay, maybe you're not going to get the jobs that you would have got schmoozing with someone?
Yeah.
Probably. But I find like, I just feel like just being on loot is such an indicator of that I chose the right path for myself, where I am now after like years of being like, okay, like, all right, I had Undateable, I was on Show Powerless. And then it was just like, I'll guest on this, I'll guest on that. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, though, I'm like, oh, I'm seeing my acting coach every week. I'm going and so I'm like, I know I'm getting better. I'm seeing myself starting to do these dramas and nail them in class and do these things, but not get the opportunity to show that on screen yet. And so now to be on this show and be like, oh, like, this episode's about you. or this, mm-hmm. you know, these scenes you need to like carry an emotional weight to, and to actually be like, okay, this is what I've been waiting. This is what I'm preparing. This is what I've been doing the work for. It is great because it feels like we're just surrounded by also, I mean, that's the thing that I felt when it was just like guest roles. And I'm like, oh, our guest roles are people like Brittany mm-hmm. and Adam Scott and yeah. like, oh, Kim Whitley. Yeah. I'm like, this is amazing. This would only come because I'm prepared and I put in the work. It wouldn't have yes. come from going to a party.
Yes. And it's like also too, like, I feel like you probably feel the same way. Like, even though you want those series regulars, you want the next step, you so appreciate the opportunities you have in those guest spots. Like, even like when I came on Loot, like I think I had like 3 lines, but I'm in like all these scenes with you, with Maya, with Kim. And I'm like sitting there, I'm like, I'm part of this. Like, I get to be here and see this and, you know, put in my own creative twist to everything that's going on. And like Matt and Alan, like, seriously, when I went and introduced myself, they're like, we can't believe you even said yes to doing this. And I'm just like, I can't believe you're letting me do this. You know, like, it's just one of those things where it's like, you never come in thinking like maybe I should clarify them saying, I can't believe you did this. I came in, that was a co-star. And like, for me coming from a series regular in this business, so many people will tell you like, no, don't go back and do that. But I'm just like, again, I want the work and I want to work with this amazing team with the amazing cast. So of course I'm going to do it. So with them telling me that, I'm just like, are you kidding me? Like, of course I'm going to come in and be here. And like the fact that I booked it, I was like, yes, you know, like, cause like, that's another thing too. It's like, just because you see, oh, Brittany Young, she was on Glow, it don't mean I'm going to book it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I still got to do what I need to do as an actor. So yeah, like, just appreciating all those moments until, like you said, like, you get that episode where you're like, oh, I'm the A story. Like, you know, like, that's such a great moment to just be like, oh, this is what I've been working towards. And other people are seeing that too. And they're letting me do my thing. Mm-hmm. It's a great feeling.
Oh yeah. I mean, to me, it's like, I said before on this podcast, I never have slam dunked the basketball. It looks like the greatest thing on earth to me. I would love to, but the closest to me is either like killing a set on stage or mm-hmm. if I have a dramatic thing I need to do in acting, because the comedy I always feel at least somewhat confident in, but when it's like showing real emotions yeah, and being yeah. engaged, and I do a scene and I hear we're moving on, no notes, I'm like, that I just did a 360 slam yes. and tore the backboard down.
Your NBA dreams are real. It's just comedy. You're just in comedy. No, that makes a lot of sense.
Tell me about the transition from being an assistant and to get into acting. That seems like that would be scary.
Yeah. I mean, growing up, I always wanted to be an actor. Like, never switched career dreams, never had any other aspirations. It was always to be an actor. You know, Raven Simone, could I be that Disney Channel triple threat? That's what I wanted to be, you know? But when I went to school, I went to college and I graduated with $60,000 of student loans, which sadly in this world is on the lower side, for kids coming out now. And I kind of thought to myself, I was like, I don't think I can wait tables as a waitress and audition and live mm-hmm. with these loans. I was like, there's just no way. So I went home to my parents to try to figure everything out. And luckily, a Universal movie came up and shot in Anchorage, Big Miracle with Drew Barrymore and John Krasinski. And I luckily got a job working in the office on that movie and kind of just thought to myself, you know what, I can work in production and learn the things I need to about how movies and television work, because we've talked about this, like, I want to be a producer one day. So if I learn this side of the business, then when I get to that point, I'll be prepared. And very like head in the sky, I was like, don't worry, I'll go to set with paychecks one day. And then the director will be like, Brittany, get in the scene. I thought I was just gonna be like, just discovered on like one of these, you know, movies working in the office or whatever. And I started working on The Mentalist, the last season of The Mentalist on CBS. And I was the showrunner's assistant and was having all these audition tapes come in and was like, that's what I should be doing. You know, like watching these and telling casting, like, let's book this person. I was like, that's what I want to do. why am I not doing it? And I kind of just, you know, told myself, stop being scared, see what can happen, and started doing little projects on the side with friends and got a manager and then literally booked those who can't, and all the other things kept on coming. But it was like, I want to say 2-3 years that I was being an assistant and trying to do acting and booking small roles. And Glow was the role that like made me transition over to, which literally my dad was like, I was like, Dad, I booked Glow. Like, I get to do this series regular role. He's like, but you're going to keep your job at Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, right? You're going to still go to Crazy. And I was like, no. My job now is an actor. Like, that's my job now. So yeah, it was really scary making that transition. And to be honest, it's still scary. Like, I'm dealing with that part. Like, one of my friends told me, the only way to make it as an actor is if you're okay with the days that you don't work. Mm-hmm. You'll only make it if you're fine with the fact that you're not going to be working all the time. And that, to me, who, you know, came from a family where, you know, work hard, play hard, like that's what was instilled to us. It's hard for me to some days be like, oh crap, I don't have a job today. Mm-hmm. But I'm getting there because I know those days will turn into the days I do have a job. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's interesting to me because it reminds me a lot of like my own personal struggles of trying. I think like, and this might sound highfalutin to some people, but I feel like art and creativity and just creation, and it doesn't necessarily mean acting. It could be woodworking. It could be a lot of things. But it to me, it's beyond a base level of existence. It's going mm-hmm. from existence to essence as, I forget where this term comes from, but you people will know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And in order to do that, sometimes you have to make that leap of faith. So you can't hold on to that rock of like, I'm going to keep being an assistant. I can't mm-hmm. do that. Because I remember, even though this was a horrible time period, not a good thing, but like, I was getting into stand-up and I was focused on it, and also was working at a bank call center, and I was hating my job, hating my life, and just going against just kind of how I like to live. And my ex-wife, one of the few great pieces of advice that she gave to me was just like, well, she's like, well, you're a comedian. You're not this other thing. She goes like, and if you hold on to this, it's only going to taint your comedy. And then she just goes, mm-hmm. no one wants to hear jokes from a banker. And I
she's not wrong.
No.
She's not wrong.
No. Oh, it was about like I had to fully leap into this lifestyle, and it's scary, and it meant that I had to adjust the amount of money I was comfortable with mm-hmm. and all these other things, but it was important. And then just recently, one of my mantras has been for the year, I do vision boards every year. Yeah. From what I read, I think you do some vision boards as well sometimes.
I actually, 2020 was the first year I did vision boards. Mm. And now I've done them the past like 2-3 years.
Nice. Welcome aboard. Yeah. I'll invite you to our vision board party. We do it at New Year's Eve. We like, that's what we do for New Year's.
There.
It's very good. It's fun. And so this year, one of my mantras was less work, more money. And it sounds fun. It sounds silly, but it is terrifying because the first part of it is the less work part. Mm-hmm. And so I had to be comfortable with not normally. I'm like, okay, you want me to go here? You want me to go to, you want me to go Anchorage, Alaska? You want me to go in the middle of Alabama? Let's go. Let's just go pick up this. Let's just keep picking up this little bits of money. And now it's been more like, well, I have my son. I have my sons. I have my wife. I need to be comfortable with just being home on some days and taking care of my home, which was something that I didn't always do. It was like I had things, but I wasn't around to put up a shelf or to put things around. And so now it's been really nice, especially since finding out that we're getting a second season, to be like, okay, maybe this is working. This less work, more money.
That, no, I totally believe that. It's actually really funny that you say vision board. Maya Rudolph was on my vision board.
Nice.
And I told her that when I was on set. I was like, just wanted to let you know you're on my vision board. And she's like, what? And I was like, literally just said Maya Rudolph.
Nice.
And I was like, in whatever capacity that is. You know, so
I love it. You got to come back. We do more episodes because I've been telling them I'm pitching it already. Like, boom, good 2-3 seasons. Then we need a spinoff for just focusing on Howard and the family. And
I mean, come, like, seriously, I told them, I was like, I will be back. I actually ran into some of your writers at a wedding before you guys got the season pickup. And I was like, so guys, is Kelly coming back? Because she wants to come. Like, I'm down. I will stand in the corner and just pass out drinks at the party. Like, how, like, it's rare to come to a show. Like, as a guest star to come into a show, especially, like, I was like, I think it's episode 9 of 10.
8.
Right? Yeah. So, like, I came in later in the season. You guys have already been together for months at a time. But, like, to come in and I felt like I had been there the whole time. Like, you're passing through truly, truly. Like, and I told Michelle Gritzer was one of you guys' ADs. She was our AD on Glow. I told her, I was like, I just felt like I came from, like, a Glow set because everyone was so nice. Everyone was so welcoming and, like, encouraging and, you know, to, like, be able to sit there in the cast chairs and, like, number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on the cast list is talking to me, number 72. Like, you know, it's such a nice feeling to go somewhere so encouraging and supporting. So truly thank you to you and the rest of the cast and crew. Like, really, it was such a fun experience. And I will hopefully be back. But if not, I'm going to be watching. I'm watching every week now. So you guys got a fan of me regardless.
Oh, I love it. And it is rare. I love that about it, too. And to think it's just one of those from the top down situations with working with Maya, where you're like, oh, man, she's such a hard worker and so giving and sweet that it just, I know exactly what you, because I've been, you know, because I lived that guest star life, or I used to, not anymore. Yeah. Yeah. But
When is our show coming out? Like, I mean, is this a plug? I'm feeling it right now.
People got to. They must be hearing the chemistry. They must be.
chemistry is happening.
But I know there's so many you go on, and it's like it's like you're a visitor at someone else's high school, or you're just coming in and everybody else knows each other. And I've been on some where they're nice to you, or I've been on some where they're like, either they're struggling to survive and you feel it, or they're really successful and you feel it. And you're like, okay, well, calm down. And yeah, there's nothing worse sometimes when you come into guests and they don't know, like, you know, you're like, oh, they don't know I was a series regular on this, a series regular on that. To them, I'm only number 78. And so when you go and sit in a chair and they're actually like, oh, actually, we're going to move your chair down. Because we need more for the regular cast.
Yeah. That one fan is just blown specifically to number one. You need to go over there.
And I love that. Yeah, there's nothing like that there. Everybody sat with everybody. And that, I think that's just rare and beautiful. And in some cases, I was like, oh, this probably means we're not coming back because it's too nice over here.
Yeah, you get a little bit worried. You're like, oh, this feels too good. Like, what's happened? Yes, I know that feeling as well.
Well, we like to talk about goals and goal set and vision boards, as we talked about previously. So if you don't mind sharing just some things you're working on, whether it is work-wise, spiritual-wise, health-wise, relationship-wise, what are the goals that you're headed towards that you're open to sharing with us? We'd love to listen.
Yeah, I mean, professionally-wise, again, you know, just really, like you said, going to class, seeing how I'm improving, working with my acting coach as well. You know, I really, my goal this year was to get back to having fun in my auditions, not take every audition so seriously. Like, again, this is whether I eat or don't eat next week, not putting that pressure on it and just having fun. Feel like I'm doing that. Feel like I want to continue that. Professionally too, trying to do things behind the camera. You and I talked on set about it, you know, have some development things going on, really trying to see those get through, like have a feature right now that's at directors, like really wanting to that to come back and get that made. Personally, long story short, I am in the middle of a long distance relationship where we have applied for a K-1 visa and it's taking a crazy long time to get it approved. So just keeping the positivity that.
Have you reached out to the producers of 90 Day Fiancé? They could maybe.
You know, we would not be good on there because we actually like each other and know a lot about each other. Like, we thought about it and been like, let's see what 90 Day Fiancé could do, but we would make good TV. We boring. But yeah, just keeping like the positivity that we are going to be together and that, you know, the long distance days are coming to a close and the days together about to start. So yeah. What do you have? Share.
Thank you for asking.
I want to know.
Usually it doesn't go back the other way. But that won't stop me from asking questions about more about the relationship and stuff. I'm still going to remember to do that. For me, it's more about right now, I guess more about like maintaining things that I have. Like we had a lot of transition recently, moving into a new house, new baby, all those things like that, coming my second anniversary. So more like trying to nurture and maintain my family and, and myself as I become more of a veteran in stand-up comedy and better at acting and just, you know, milestones that I set for myself where it's like I've been doing comedy. In October, I'll be doing stand-up for 16 years and I'll be doing, acting for about 10 years. And so it's more about me being confident in myself and stop telling. Because I used to always tell myself this story of like, oh, you're funny, but you're not an actor. Like, if they want a real actor, they'll get a real actor. You're, you know, you'll do the jokes and be funny. And then I have to be like, well, no, you've been doing this for 10 years now. So you're a real actor. You know how to act. You know what you're doing. And just becoming more, for lack of a better term, mastery is what I'm trying to work on. It's just feel that I'm really confident in my acting and being natural and open and just, you know, I'm not looking to be Daniel Day-Lewis or anything, but I just want to be, I want to feel confident that I can work until I want to die in this industry. Yeah. So I just want to keep
working.
You want to
work until you can't work.
Yeah. Yeah. And I want to create, and similar to you, just trying to create my own projects. I feel like my whole career has been a lot of potential, and I'm trying to execute on that potential. I feel like Lou is one of the first times where I do feel that way, where I'm like, oh, I know the level I feel like I'm reaching. I feel like I'm reaching it. Everybody is also not just saying that I'm good. They're liking the show, you know? And that feels like next level stuff for me, and just trying to... create my own projects, hopefully host a show, and be a good dad to both of my sons. That's basic. Those are my goals.
I like them. You are an actor, boo. I've been in love with you forever. You're an actor. You're there.
Tell me more about your long distance relationship. How long? I forget. Was he in Ireland or Scotland?
He's in Ireland. Yeah. So we've been doing long distance for, it will be 6 years in, it'll be 5 years. When was 2017? It'll be how many years since 2017 in November? I think it's 5 years. Five years in November. We met on Tinder when he was on vacation and had fun for like a month and then realized we actually wanted to be with each other. And it's been... it's been the best thing that's ever happened to me, but it's also been the hardest thing, especially because during the pandemic, he was in Canada working and the borders closed. So we didn't see each other for 14 months. And that was just really rough. But now going through this visa process, our immigration system is so backlogged that a process that used to take 9 to 12 months from submission to visa in hand was 9 to 12 months. Now, just the first step of approval is 13 and a half. So it's they're telling us it's going to be probably 17, 18 months to get, your visa. And you're just sitting here and, he can't come travel here. So I've gone to Ireland 3 times already this year. It's just really, keeping the positivity that one day we are going to be together and one day we won't have to do this traveling and back and forth. But, it's hard for me to tell, do I recommend a long distance relationship? Yeah. But if it's worth it, it's worth it. And he's definitely been worth it. We have been worth it. So I'm enjoying that.
The first year of my relationship with my wife was long distance because she's Canadian and she moved. She was here visiting similar, having to go back and forth and You know, similar thing when the borders were closing down is when we were like, well, what are we doing?
Oh my gosh. Yes, I remember you telling me, yes, because so many people told us, they're like, just get married. And I'm like, but he's not a Canadian citizen. Like, I was like trying to explain like the whole entire like semantics of it all. But yeah, long distance is tough.
It is tough, but I also look forward to a day where there's going to be one day, which was fun. Maybe this will help you hold on to your fun positivity, is one day, not too far from now, you're going to be annoyed that he's in your space. Oh, yeah. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, like basically anytime I go around him and like we'll stay at each other's places and I'm like, oh, I forget you don't close the kitchen cabinets. Mm-hmm. It'll just like, it's like things like that where like I do forget like living or like, oh, you just throw your socks there. The hamper is there. Like, you know, it's stuff like that. But no, it is kind of fun. Like you say that, like I'm excited to be annoyed then because that means he's here.
Well, I can't wait for that for you.
Thank you.
Of course. Let's see. Anything else I need to add before we descend? No, been pretty good. Chill conversation. I loved it. Do you want to plug anything? Is there anything you want where people find you? We don't normally do plugs, but if you got anything.
I mean, no.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like things are coming. I'm not really posting that much on Instagram now, you know. So no, truthful answer.
Sometimes you can see you wear some exquisite dresses and fun.
Yeah. Sometimes I put makeup on. I mean, this is a fake hair piece to look somewhat fancy.
I love it. So is this.
Look at that seamless line, them edges.
I'm right there with you. I am an actor.
We know how to play like we have hair.
Yes. Okay. Well, then I will descend and I'll ask you the last question I ask everybody, which is just for a little piece of advice, a little pearl of wisdom, a little something. It doesn't matter if it's something you learned from your parents when you're growing up or something you just found out recently. I just need something to help our getting better community get better.
My piece of advice that I should have trademarked years ago before another company is just do it.
That was me
when I was a fetus. Just do it in any way that means small scale, big scale. Just go out there and do it because it's going to lead to bigger and better things every time, all the time.
I love that. I think that's such good advice, especially for people who are always like, when you have big dreams, they seem so daunting. And something that you said earlier that I wanted to expound on was that you found out that you wanted to get into action or you were reignited and you knew it and you did a bunch of, like, instead of just being like, where is this person going to cast me in this network show? You went and did small things. You found projects to do. And you found ways to get better and to break down a big journey into smaller steps. And I feel like making yourself helpful, making yourself useful in any capacity is one of the ways you can really help yourself in this business. Like, one of my first jobs that helped me out was writing on that Eric Andre show and the Kroll show. And that only came from me hanging out with some of the comedians and they just being like, hey, I'm shooting this scene tomorrow. If you're not busy, would you come by and help pitch some jokes?
Yeah.
And just that led to me having my first job. And it's just from being open to do small things and help your friends out and just let them naturally build, as opposed to some people who are predatory and how they want to like use you to come up. Like this guy on my Instagram right now who keeps sending me a message asking if he can open for me in Kansas City. It's because he says he thinks he's going to be the next comedy star in 4 months. No, go to a fucking open mic. Leave me alone. What does it got to do with me? Why can't you just go do it?
I thought that was going to lead into, and he's opening for me in Kansas City.
No! Anyone opening for me been doing comedy 5 to 6 years, at least, minimum.
Don't be afraid to put in the work. Preparedness.
Yes. Why would you want to be successful in 4 months? So everybody hates you?
That's too fast. That is too fast for me. That's daunting. That is daunting.
truly is. Well, Brittany, it's a pleasure to talk to you a little bit. I hope I get to see you in person sometime soon.
Yes. Thank you for having me. Seriously, so much fun. I mean, Loot season 2, writers, reunite this team.
You got to bring it back. You guys got to be listening. Alan, I know you check out some clips. Come on. You got to.
He's just going to DM us and be like, guys, stop.
Leave me alone.
Enough. Can, the whole season.
You can reach me directly.
You call me. We love you, Alan.
We do. Oh, and we love you, Brittany. Thank you for coming. So a pleasure to get to know you a little better, from being a fan from afar to being a friend in person. So
yes, I love that.
Yes. Thank you for coming. Thank you guys for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Great job, Brittany.
Yay. I don't know why I just said that so creepy. Bye.